Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:45 Pacific Summertime. Well, today is March 19th, and we continue to see that the volatility in the currency markets in particular has really just taken off. Well, when you look at what happened yesterday, then the euro had appreciated by about 3 cents, gave up 2 cents of that today. The intraday volatility has also been quite high. It's a very similar pattern for the vast majority of currencies. That, for example, the Canadian dollar was stronger yesterday by about 2 cents, weaker today by about 1.5 cents. Fairly similar margins for the Australian dollar. Same thing with the pound. Well, you look at the VIX index, which, you know, most people tend to think of the VIX as a measure of volatility, but you don't have nearly the same volatility in stock markets that you do in the currency markets. And, well, I guess part of the reason for that is because there isn't any real threat to the liquidity on which the stock market has been feeding. This was a relatively quiet day on Wall Street. The S&P was weaker by about 0.5%. The NASDAQ 100 was marginally stronger on the day, and the Dow Jones was down about 117 points, which is about 0.2%. But considering that they were all in positive territory yesterday, well, this is just, it continues to look like that we're getting a little bit of consolidation. Well, in Europe, the weakness of the euro yesterday represented a headwind. The strength of the euro, the strength of the euro yesterday represented a headwind. The weakness of the euro today, something of a tailwind, but the volatility on the currency markets is detracting somewhat from the short euro long equity market play that's been going on for much of the last 2.5 months. Well, if you look at something like LVMH, where the share had rallied for 9 consecutive weeks. It had had that emphatic breakout in January and then just kept going. And well, if in the absence of really quite a strong upward dynamic tomorrow, then this will be the first down week in the last 9. Well, in the last 10, counting this week. When you look at something that has just been breaking out and then goes beyond the expectations of people, so that people then tend to think that, well, maybe it'll continue to go up for a bit longer, and then it starts to pull back, well, what you would anticipate is that the pace of the advance would moderate. And by that, what you then would expect is that the very tight progression of high reaction lows that has been evident for the last 10 weeks would come under pressure, that it might get a somewhat larger reaction than we've seen in that period of time, but that the upper side of the underlying range is probably the worst case scenario, and that you would give the medium term the benefit of the doubt, so that any kind of substantial pullback is probably going to be a buying opportunity. And because we see that very similar pattern in such a large number of European shares, that a lot of people that might have missed the 10-week advance were now presented with a more risky environment in terms of the momentum, that the likelihood is we're going to get some sort of a somewhat larger pullback, and that will represent a buying opportunity for the majority of these markets. Well, the kind of move that we had yesterday, that it's really quite a clear downward dynamic, that there was a tail on the candle if you look on the dollar index or perhaps the euro, but that it's the largest move that we've had in really quite a long time. Well, today's countermanding move suggests that if the peak that we've seen for the dollar is a near-term peak, and I think that's still the most likely scenario, but that if it isn't, that this is a penultimate high. Considering just how much the dollar has gone up, then you'd have to consider that the potential for some consolidation, and particularly when you see the dollar index in the region of a big round number, and the euro coming back into another big round number where your parity is really not that far away, then the potential for more volatility, more swings, and more ranging really does look to be the most likely scenario. Well, with the fact that the dollar has been so firm, then commodities have been really quite weak. And The gold price today is firming. Additionally, it was up by $18, almost $19. And that's pretty much closing on the high of the day. Well, it was testing the $1,150 area 48 hours ago. Platinum was stronger today by an additional $30. That's the high of the day is around 1133, so it's about $10 off its peak. It does suggest that even though we have this really quite deep short-term oversold condition in platinum, that it's not all going to be one way. And I guess part of the reason for that is because we still have a lot of things to debate. That the US doesn't particularly want a strong currency, but neither is it coming out and saying that it is active, proactively attempting to devalue the dollar, whereas Europe has been very clear in that they are engaged in quantitative easing with the express purpose of courting inflation and devaluing the currency in order to stimulate growth. So that is contributing to the volatility that we have at the present moment, and the fact that the Fed have removed their constriction on potentially raising rates at some point this year suggests that they may raise rates, but that they're going to do so in a very measured pace. That if they do raise rates, it'll only be to show that they can do so, and that they'll be slow to do it to make any additional moves for the simple reason that the dollar is doing their job for them. That this strong currency represents a tightening effect on the US economy. When you take a look, just I guess taking a step back, I guess I'm a little bit philosophical today. My daughter is 9 years old, and it really feels like only a twinkling ago that she was born. But when you take a little bit of a step back and take that longer term perspective, that we've been rallying now for 6 years, and there is an active debate going on as to whether the market is fully valued, but we've also been describing this as a liquidity-fueled move for really quite some time, and that there isn't really any threat to the largesse of the central banks. In fact, what we're seeing is that central banks are increasing their largesse, that the ECB is engaged in printing €1 trillion, that the Bank of Japan is still engaged in quantitative easing, and that because of commodity prices trending lower, fears of deflation, competition because some central banks are printing and others aren't, then the interest rate environment is going down. So countries like China are cutting interest rates right across Asia, Latin America, and India have been cutting interest rates. And all of this is really quite stimulative. So that we have the potential for some consolidation in Europe, that the trends in the US are still really quite consistent, and that China continues to represent recovery potential, and India, having surged over the last year, is currently engaged in a reversion towards the mean. And perhaps the most interesting market right now is Hong Kong. If you look at the Hang Seng, the PE is around 10, and you've got a yield of about 3.5. And if you look at the China Enterprises Index, which is the mainland Chinese companies listed in Hong Kong, you get a PE of 8.5 and a yield of 3.5. Well, that index has done nothing for 3 years, but it continues to firm in the region of the 200-day moving average. And, well, you don't need a great deal of imagination to think that if we're still in a liquidity-fueled environment and the mainland market continues to outperform, that value hunters are going to start to take interest in that market in the not-too-distant future. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.